This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joy podcast. Joy podcasts provide diverse voices for Australia's LGBTI communities, and it can't be done without your support. Radiothon is on now, so join up, renew, or extend your membership today at joy.org.au and help keep us out loud and proud on Joy 94.9.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast, brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
In the news recently, you might have seen Kelly O'Dwyer, the Finance Minister, member for Higgins, and been on Joy a few times.
Occasionally, she has.
Never enough, but that's okay. And Kate Jenkins, the Sex Discrimination Commissioner, they announced a world first, and I was actually amazed by this, that it hadn't actually happened elsewhere in the world, well, certainly in a national inquiry into workplace sexual harassment. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. I'm actually amazed that there hasn't been an inquiry such as this undertaken on a national level before. I mean,
Yeah. I think that I know sexual harassment in the workplace has become a global conversation, particularly since the Weinstein news hit the international papers and Me Too. But I think up until now, it hasn't in most countries been taken as a really serious problem. So what's happened over that time, and as a Human Rights Commission, we are engaged with the United Nations, so we talk to other countries, is that everyone is starting to think, well, what should we do? And in other countries, there have been, particular industries that have started work targeting sexual harassment. And I know in the UK, there's been a parliamentary committee that's looking at sexual harassment. But we're the first country that's taken an approach where we've got really the experts, if I might say, the Human Rights Commission that, takes complaints, does research, collects the data, provides tools, and engaged us to do a national inquiry to really listen to people, to gather the best current thinking, to have consultations, and to really get a real sense of where we are now and where we need to go next.
Kate, earlier this morning we had trans woman Melissa Griffiths, who's from Now Australia, who talked about her personal experience but also the work that they are doing. One of the things that she was able to inform us was that the data that they have suggests that 1 in 10 women have experienced some form of sexual or other form of harassment in the workplace. Are you able to shed any further light on any of that sort of data at this stage?
Yes, absolutely. The Australia is actually very good at collecting the data. So it depends on where you look. So you can look at ABS, at the Personal Safety Survey. But in particular, the Human Rights Commission has done periodic surveys on sexual harassment, and we've actually just completed our fourth survey. So that survey's looked at 10,000 people across the country. It's the first time that a survey has actually asked people, or offered for people to identify as members of the LGBTI community. So we are really excited to know that we will get very good data to understand the experience in that community. But if you look back at the 2012 survey, which was the last time that we conducted it, depending on how you measure it, that's why every time 1 in 10, our stats tell us, from 2012, in the previous 5 years, it was actually 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men had experienced sexual harassment. That was the 5-year period over a lifetime,
that's a quarter.
That is exactly right. So, and what we know, which and so I suspect I'll come back and talk to you in August, is we already know from the early indications of the survey that it has actually increased. So that we don't have the actual numbers or stats, but it's really clear that. And it's not just increasing awareness. It appears like it is happening more. So this is the perfect time to do the national inquiry, and we'll be releasing the stats, as I said, on that survey in August. So that will sort of be the early information that we'll provide so people can start really thinking about industries and who they need to be supporting and what needs to be done to start thinking already how to change.
If I can and ask, Kate, and I'm sure there's a lot of preparatory work gone into this, you know, and certainly, you know, discussions, you know, with the minister, et cetera, but how we, where is the bar going to be set in terms of, you know, my understanding of sexual harassment, it is how, the, you know, the person that has been harassed... That if they believe or they feel that they've been harassed, and we accept that, but how are you are you going to set I'm struggling for a word, the bar where you start where how are we going to classify this, because obviously, you know, there are varying degrees, you know, I mean it's all wrong. So where do we set the bar?
It's a great question, and actually even launching the National Inquiry has really made me realise how blurry the idea of sexual harassment is in our general community. So just to give you the context, I've been a lawyer, employment lawyer, and I've been doing these cases since the early 90s, and actually the definition is really clear. So the definition of sexual harassment is this. It is, and it hasn't changed, and in fact, I think it's, you know, it's a pretty good description of what we want not to be happening in workplaces, which is it's unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature where the person, where you would reasonably anticipate the person receiving the conduct would be offended, humiliated or intimidated. So it doesn't mean I'm super sensitive, I didn't like that, you know, swear word that you said, that's, so that's sexual harassment. It actually means it's unwelcome, it's sexual, and you would reasonably expect it would cause offence. Now, when you ask that question, and it's a great way to ask the question, is in Australia, I think what has happened over time is we're a country that likes to get along, take a joke, fit in, and generally speaking, people don't want to complain about their colleagues. So what has happened over time is it's become the social norm to put up with a degree of unwelcome sexual conduct in the workplace. And the question when people talk about complaining is it really has to be quite serious. Quite often they, if they think someone didn't mean it, so there's a view that sexual harassment is something that's quite serious and something that is intended. Now, jumping back a step, the definition of sexual harassment is quite broad, but the consequences for it in the workplace is, you know, some of it could be sexual assault. Consequences in the workplace will be you lose your job. That's really serious. If it is a sexual joke or a sexual comment directed to someone in the workplace, and it's happened one-off or it's a couple of times, and that's more likely because usually one-off, it's sort of not necessarily unwelcome but repeated. An employer normally, if they knew that they had to act, would normally say, hey, that's not appropriate and you shouldn't be doing that. So the I think we mix up sort of, and there's a bit of the media does this as well. People think of sexual harassment as something really absolutely terrible and a huge mar on people's... Whereas, in fact, I think some of the reasons why it's so prevalent is because we've socially said you've got to put up with a whole lot of it. It's only when it's serious that we should do something about it. And I think that leads to serious and it also leads to day-to-day sexual harassment.
Kate, we're almost out of time, but if any of our listeners wish to contribute or participate in this review, how can they do that and what are the processes that are open to them?
We absolutely want participation. So when we will put out information, it's already on our website, you can register if you're interested, but we in particular will be doing public consultations across the country, and we will be taking public submissions that can be confidential or public, and we will it will probably be closer to September, October that process will be open. So we will, I'd love to come back to you and let you know so that you could help promote that for
we would really like that, because we've already heard this morning from one of our other guests that this has been a very real issue for them, and they've had some personal experience of sexual harassment as a trans woman, which I think often the LGBTIQ community may actually be a bit invisible in this space as well.
Well, and I know you're out of time, but I'll tell you the one stat from our university work last year, which we asked for those details, is trans and gender diverse people experience sexual harassment at the rate of 45% compared to the average of 26%. So we know that that is a community that should not be invisible.
Half.
Front and centre, they're experiencing it. Yes.
That's extraordinary. Now, if any of our listeners are experiencing any distress, is there anywhere that they can call for help other than the usual 000 or Lifeline as a helpline?
Yes, they can call 1-800-RESPECT, but from the Commission's point of view, if they need help or direction on what they can do in relation to their rights, they can call the Commission's information line, and we provide information on places you can go as well.
And the number is 1-800-RESPECT.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the separate support line and the Human Rights Commission, which you're going to show me up because I don't know it off by heart. But if you Google
it, that's all right. We'll put it up on our podcast.
Kate, thank you very much for your time this morning. We look forward to chatting with you again in August and September.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.